Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you live from his own bedroom, your host, Tony.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what's up and welcome back to another episode of Time Out with Tony, your host, Tony. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, if you could please give me a minute real quick, there we go. Alright, so ladies and gentlemen, it's we're 2 weeks away from Christmas. Could you believe it? Christmas season is approaching, boys. And to kick things off, well, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to be reviewing the classic How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Yeah, you know the one with Jim Carrey that came out like, 20 years ago? Yeah, 20 years ago. Yeah, that one. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into today's episode, I want to take a quick minute and thank you guys all so much for the support. It means a lot, really, so keep up the support. Now, the giveaway. We're giving away a free t-shirt. That's right, a custom Time Out with Tony t-shirt. And it could be yours. How, you may be wondering, well, later today or sometime this week, we're going to be posting on our story the opportunity for you to submit your name. It's pretty much how it's been done before. I take a bunch of people's names, I put them in a box. Well, I write their names on a piece of paper and put them into a box. I shake the box and then pull out a name one by one, and the last one in there gets the prize. And that's pretty much how it works, ladies and gentlemen. So later this week, we're going to be posting on our story, so please be aware. The last chance to submit your name, I think, would be the 23rd. Alright, the 23rd of December. We're going to be constantly posting it. We're going to post it 2 times this week on our story and 2 times next week. Alright, and the last chance for you guys to submit your name would be the 23rd. Any day after that, nothing. Winners will be announced Christmas Day. Now, today's episode. So, originally, we were supposed to review Miracle on 34th Street, but at the last minute, I just said, you know what, fuck it, I want to do the Grinch. And so, we're doing the Grinch. So, yeah. I gotta say, before today's episode, I had never seen this version of the Grinch. In fact, I don't even know much about, you know, the whole story of the Grinch. I just know he's someone that hates Christmas, and he's someone who you wouldn't touch with a 39.5-inch pole. Like, you know how much of a despicable person you have to be in order to not be touched with a 39.5-foot pole? It's despicable. Wrong universe, but hey, deal with it. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, so yeah, but for today's episode, I had never seen this movie before. It was really cool to see, especially watching Jim Carrey. It's been a cool minute since I've seen Jim Carrey on the screen, and it's a Christmas classic. All right, for Gen Z babies and millennials alike, it's a Christmas classic. All right, so let's get straight into today's episode. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and crack open a beer, soda, and/or eggnog, and enjoy, because this is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is a 2000 Christmas fantasy comedy drama film co-produced and directed by Ron Howard and written by Jeffrey Price and Peter S. Seaman, based on based on Dr. Seuss's 1957 book of the same name. It was the first Dr. Seuss book to ever be adapted into a full-length feature film. Narrated by Anthony Hopkins, the film stars Jim Carrey as the eponymous character with Jeffrey Tambor, Christine Baranski, Bill Irwin, and Molly Shannon in supporting roles. Produced by Imagine Entertainment, How the Grinch Stole Christmas was released by Universal Pictures in the U.S. on November 17, 2000. The film went on to earn mixed reviews from critics who praised Jim Carrey's performance but criticized its dark theme and somewhat scary moments. I mean, zooming in on Jim Carrey's face while he's dressed as the Grinch is kind of, you know, scary, but I guess, you know, it's not like the kids watching this are gonna get traumatized. Totally are. Anyways, and despite all of this, the film actually spent 4 weeks at the number one spot in the US and went on to gross $345 million worldwide and became the sixth highest grossing film of 2000. It was originally the second highest grossing film of all time, right behind Home Alone, until both films were surpassed by the 2018 by the third film adaptation of the story. The movie went on to win Academy Award for Best Makeup, as well as get nominations for Best Art Direction and Best Costume Design. I will admit, those costumes, how the way they made Jim Carrey look like Grinch, amazing. Although, you know, according to a lot of reports, people say that, you know, Jim Carrey was a little shit when it came to putting on makeup, and they had to calm him down. So, you know, I understand, but at the same time, you know, keep it coolio, you know? Anyways, so, let's go into our story. So, our story opens up on the Who's a Who Will, as they enjoy celebrating Christmas. The Grinch, a misanthropic, I don't know how to say that. Green creature who lives in a cave on nearby Mount Crumpet hates this holiday, and the Who's dislike him because of his mean-spiritedness, especially during the holiday season. Cindy Lou, a six-year-old who believes that everyone is focusing on the gifts and the festivities instead of the personal relationships, encounters the Grinch at the post office and discovers that he's had a tragic past. As it turns out, the Grinch, well, he was a war hero back in Afghanistan, and unfortunately, after the lights faded out, he turned to the drink. Pretty soon, eventually, his wife left him. And even after that, his kids didn't even want to talk to him, and his kids' kids didn't even want to talk to him. And you know what? It just got so bad to the point to where Grinch arrived in Whoville as a baby and was adopted by two elderly sisters. He was a timid child and not as cruel as he would later become. In school, the Grinch had a crush on Martha May Hoover. Anyways, she was this pretty girl in his class who had reciprocated his feelings. Bully Augustus Mayhew, who was jealous that Martha liked the Grinch more than him, started bullying him. And the Grinch made a Christmas angel as a gift for Martha, but he accidentally cut his face while trying to shave due to Mayhew claiming he had a beard. When Mayhew and his classmates saw that he cut his face, they, except Martha, including his teacher, teased him, and this caused him to lose his temper and open fire. He declared hatred for Christmas and fled to Mount Crumpet, where he has resided since. Cindy nominates the Grinch to be the town's holiday cheermeister. This outrages Mayhew, who is now the mayor of Whoville. Who? Cindy climbs to Mount Crumpet to invite the Grinch to the celebration, and he eventually accepts, realizing that Martha may be there and he could finally upset Mayhew. As cheermeister, the Grinch participates in several events and begins to actually have fun, but Mayhew ruins everything by giving him an electric razor as a present. And this reminds him of his childhood humiliation, which started his hatred of the holiday season, and, well, you know, he gets, you know, really angry. Mayhew then publicly proposes to Martha by giving her a gaudy engagement ring and a new car. This enrages the Grinch, who berates the Who's for their materialism and tells them that Christmas is only about gifts that they will ultimately end up throwing in the garbage, which is dumped on Mount Crumpet near his home. He shaves Mayhew's head, burns down the tree with a makeshift flamethrower. The Who's, however, have a spare, and he goes on a rampage before returning home. He is fed up with the Who's Christmas, and the Grinch vows to crush the Who's Christmas spirit by stealing all of their presents, decorations, foods while they're asleep. He disguises himself as Santa Claus and distresses his pet dog Max as a reindeer. He descends into Whoville, and the first house he enters is Cindy's. When she catches him stealing their tree, he lies to her in order to allow him to escape. Yeah, that's what I said. The Grinch continues stealing all of the gifts, decorations, and food and stuffing them in a large sack before climbing to the back, before climbing back to the top of Mount Crumpet to destroy all of it by pushing the sack off the side. Nutsack! Upon wakening on Christmas morning, the Whos are horrified to discover that the theft and the mayor, Mayor Who blames Cindy for enabling the Grinch to ruin the holidays for the town. However, her cheerful father, town postmaster Lulu Who, comes to her defense, his daughter's defense, by explaining that the mayor and all the other Whos, that he has finally figured out what Cindy has been trying to tell the whole town. Christmas is mainly about being together with family and friends and not just gifts and fancy decorations. The Whos agree with Lou and start singing Whoville's Christmas Carol before the Grinch can push the sack of stolen gifts off the top of the Mount Crumpet. He hears the Whos singing and realizes that he has failed to prevent Christmas, and he has an epiphany and realizes that the true meaning of Christmas This causes his heart to grow 3 sizes, and the sleigh full of gifts then begins to slide over the edge of the cliff along with Cindy, who had come to spend Christmas with him. The Grinch gets the strength to lift the loaded sleigh and carry Cindy to safety. They ride down the mountain and return to everything. The Grinch apologizes for his pranks and the home invasions before surrendering himself to the police, who accept his apology and deny the mayor's request to, quote, arrest and pepper spray him. Martha even turns down Mayhew's proposal and returns his engagement ring to him, declaring that her heart belongs to the Grinch. In the end, the reformed Grinch joins the Whos' celebration feast and carves the roast beast himself in his cave. And that, my friends, is how the Grinch stole Christmas. If you think about it, he really did steal Christmas, you know, because, you know, all these people, they were planning to spend it inside their inside Whoville. Now they're spending it inside of this dude's cave. So if you think about it, the Grinch really did steal Christmas. Thank you guys so much. We'll catch you guys next week. I'm joking. Oh, shit. I spit on the mic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the rating. On a scale of 1 to 10, I've got to give How the Grinch Stole Christmas a... A 7 out of 10. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, a 7 out of 10, and here is why. Well, first and foremost, the plot itself, it's great. You know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is a Christmas classic by generations, for generations to come. It will be, but even then, before, as you see in the past, it's always been a Christmas favorite. So, hands down, this is a kick-ass story, yo. One thing I really don't like about the movie would be, I don't know, the creepy zoom-ins on Jim Carrey's face, you know, when he has all that makeup that makes him look like, I don't know, a fucking the Grinch. You know, I'd appreciate, you know, if we, that didn't happen, but it's not like, you know, I could go back in time and tell people not to do that. You're still gonna do it. Anyways, I'm going off to way off task. Anyways, yeah, that's what I really didn't like. What I did like also was the makeup and the effects. That was really good shit. They used some good shit making Jim Carrey look like the Grinch. All right. Not only that, but you know the facial features that the people. Of Whoville carry those facial features, even the effects, it's cool. My only beef with this movie is the zoom ins. It's so uncomfortable. I wish it really didn't happen. Not only that, but this movie, you know what, it actually does, like most Christmas movies, you know, it does spread the true meaning of Christmas, which is to be with friends and family, you know, enjoy time with one another and whatnot, you know, to be cheerful and stuff. And, you know, I think they do a really great great job of getting that message across. Unfortunately, however, 20 years later, some people still don't get that shit, but, you know, it's whatever, you know, that's let them beat them, you know. It's still not our fault that they'll realize that they're cold-hearted bastards that have nothing to live for at all. Anyways, yeah, they did a perfect job of getting that through. Not only that, but the acting. Jim Carrey's acting, nice. Decent, alright? It's always decent. Well, I mean, I could name a few bad performances, but overall, this is a good, you know, performance by Jim Carrey. Anthony Hopkins narrating. That's like having Morgan Freeman narrate that shit, bro. That'd be so cool. Huh. Let me write that shit down. What is it? Note to self. Morgan Freeman as a narrator. Oh, what's that? He's already it? Oh. Shit. Anyways. I think he did a really good job narrating. The acting, great. It's really great to like about this movie. Except, you know, those zoom-ins, why? Do I recommend it? You're goddamn right I do. Especially during Christmas time. Millennials and Gen Z, this is our thing, you know? This movie for us to enjoy, alright? And it's a movie that'll be one to enjoy with our children. Prove me wrong. Actually, you know what? Don't do that. Anyways, what else? I think that's it for the rating. Let's take a look behind the scenes, folks. So, production for the film first began even before his death in 1991 when Dr. Seuss had refused any offers to sell the film rights to his books. After his death, however, his widow, Audrey Geisel, agreed to several merchandising deals, including clothing lines, accessories, and even CDs nuts. In July of 1998, Geisel's agents announced via letter that she would auction the film rights of How the Grinch Stole Christmas getting ahead of myself. In order to pitch their ideas to Geisel, the suitors ultimately had to be willing to pay $5 million for the material and hand over 4% of box office gross, 50% of merchandising revenue and music-related material, and 70% of the income from book tie-ins. The letter also stated that, quote, any actor submitted for The Grinch must be comparable stature to Jack Nicholson, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, and Dustin Hoffman, end quote. Additionally, it was stipulated that the estate would not consider a director or writer that had not earned at least $1 million on a previous picture. Dude. Damn, bro. Miss Geisel. It's go big or go home. Know what I mean? Miss Geisel's going after that bag, yo. You go, girl. Racist ass motherfucker. I don't even know if he was racist. Anyways. 20th Century Fox pitched its version with director Tom Shadyac and producers Dave Phillips and John Davis in attendance, in which Nicholson was in mind to play the Grinch. Additionally, the Farrelly brothers and John Hughes pitched their own separate versions. A John Hughes version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas? That'd be so cool, man. I mean, we already gave him Home Alone 1 and 2. Another Christmas classic? Universal Pictures held its pitch presentation with Brian Grazer and Gary Rhodes in attendance. Geisel refused to see each offer. Grazer then enlisted his producing partner Ron Howard to help in negotiations. At the time, Howard was developing a film adaptation of The Seawolf, and despite being an avid fan of the animated special, he did not express interest in The Grinch, but Grazer talked Howard into traveling to Geisel's residence for the pitch meeting. While studying the book, Howard became interested in the character Cindy Lou Who, who pitched a film in which she would have a larger role, as well as a materialistic representation of the Who's and expanded a backstory of the Grinch. On September 16th, 1998, it was announced that Howard would direct and co-produce a live-action adaptation of How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey attached to star. It was also reported that Universal Pictures had acquired the distribution rights and paid $9 million for the film rights for an adaptation of The Grinch and Oh, the Places You'll Go to Geisel. Before Howard would go on to sign, Tim Burton was actually considered to direct but turned it down due to a scheduling conflict with Sleepy Hollow. Could you imagine a Dr. Seuss, like a Tim Burton-themed Dr. Seuss story? That'd be so fucking creepy. Giving Tim Burton another Christmas movie, another creepy... Fuck, I ain't got shit against that movie, but I just don't like it. How, The Nightmare Before Christmas, that's... Anyways. Where was I? Jeffrey Price and Peter S. Seaman, who wrote the final screenplay following 8 drafts, but Geisel also had to veto power over the script. She objected to several jokes and sexual innuendos in the screenplay, including one about a family who did not have a Christmas tree, or presents jokingly called the Who Steins, and the placement of a stuffed trophy of the Cat in the Hat on the Grinch's wall. Alec Berg, Dave Mandel, and Jeff Schaefer did an uncredited rewrite of the script. The film was shot between September 1999 and January 2000. Geisel visited the set in October, and much of Whoville was set. The Whoville set was constructed on the back lot of the Universal Studios, right behind the Bates Motel set from Psycho. Rick Baker was hired to design and create the film's prosthetic makeup for Jim Carrey and the rest of the cast. It took a number of tests, and ultimately Carrey admiring a photo of Baker in his first test makeup for the decision to use Baker's original makeup design. The Grinch suit was covered in yak hair, dyed green, sewed onto a Hispanic suit, and the application of the makeup took up to 8.5 hours, after which a frustrated Jim Carrey would kick the hole in a wall of his trailer. Carrey's makeup artist, Kazuhiro, recounted, quote, "On set, Carrey was really mean to everybody. In the beginning of the production, they couldn't finish. After 2 weeks, we could only finish 3 days worth of shooting schedule, because suddenly he would disappear, and when he came back, everything was ripped apart. We couldn't shoot anything," end quote. Kazuhiro left production until Baker and Howard had a discussion with Carrey on how important Kazuhiro was to the production. Carrey agreed to keep his anger in check, and Kazuhiro returned to his role. Meanwhile, Josh Ryan Evans, who played the 8-year-old Grinch, who wore the same style of makeup and bodysuit that Carrey wore, In total, Carrey went on to spend 92 days in the Grinch makeup and became adept at remaining while sitting in the makeup chair. Most of the appliances the actors wore were noses that connected to the upper lip, along with a few dentures, ears, and, well, wigs. And, damn, bro, could you imagine the whole fucking headache it would take to fucking get into roll for this shit? Oh, fuck no, man. I would have shot someone. Anyways, How the Grinch Stole Christmas went on to gross $260 million domestically and $85.1 million in other territories for a total worldwide gross of $345.1 million. It became the 6th highest grossing film of 2000. In the US, The Grinch opened at number 1 on its opening day, making $15.6 million with a weekend gross of $55 million. For an average of 17,615 from 3,127 theaters. The film went on to hold the highest opening weekend for a Christmas-themed film for 18 years until the 2018 film version of The Grinch passed it with $67.6 million. In its second weekend, the film grossed $52.1 million, dropping only 5.1% and setting a new record for the highest grossing second weekend for any film at the time. The film stayed at the top of the box office for 4 weekends until it was taken by What Most Women Want in mid-December. When it closed on March 1st, 2001, the final domestic gross was $260.44 million, and Box Office Mojo estimates that the film sold at least 48.1 million tickets in North America alone. On Rotten Tomatoes, How the Grinch Stole Christmas holds an approval rating of 49% based on 142 reviews, with an average of 5.5 out of 10. The website's critical consensus reads, quote, Jim Carrey shines as the Grinch. Unfortunately, it's not enough to save this movie. You're better off watching the TV cartoon. End quote. On Metacritic, the film has a weighted average of 46 out of 100 based on 29 critics, indicating mixed or average reviews. So you can see a lot of people didn't really fuck with it, mostly because, you know, zooming into Jim Carrey's face, it's not really the best thing to do, especially when he has a lot of makeup on it, but, you know, who's gonna give a fuck, aside from the kids who get nightmares from this? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that pretty much wraps up today's episode. Before we go, once again, I want to take a quick minute and thank you guys all so much for the support. It means a lot, really, so keep it up, and most of all, tell everybody, tell your mom, tell your dad, to the mailman, to everybody. Also, be sure to submit your name for the t-shirt giveaway. Sometime this week it will go up. If not, then oh well. But either way, someone will be getting a free t-shirt, and you will know when. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that pretty much wraps today's episode. Let us know what you guys think about How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Do I recommend it? Yes, especially during Christmas time. Something to watch with the family. Or someone. Just a movie to watch in general, bro. It's Christmas, so, you know. Get to it, you know? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty much it for today's episode. We'll catch you guys next week. Thank you. Most of all, don't drink it dry.
Okay, show's over. Please get out. Thank you.